So we just heard about how an invasive insect is threatening a rare native plant. And the insect's host, Asian bittersweet, was introduced back in the 1800s as the garden plant. Now it's considered a severe threat by the state. Today, woodlands in Pennsylvania are inundated with dozens of invasive plant species.
It looks green, but like everything you're seeing on the understory is invasive. So this is Japanese stilt grass right here. We have privet. Anything that you see as the shrub understory, with the exception of this spice bush, is invasive.
Ryan Utes is assistant professor of water resources at Chatham University's Falk School of Sustainability and Environment. It's a hot July morning, and we're walking into the woods at their Eden Hall campus north of Pittsburgh. I'm here to learn about a study Utes and collaborators have just published in the journal Neobiota about another invasive that's taken over here and in many other forested areas in the Northeast.
So here's some barberry right here. There's some bigger patches up here. Ah, it's everywhere.
Japanese barberry is a bush that's commonly used in landscaping. People like it because it grows bright red berries, but it's escaped into forest and suburban woodlands like these, and that's where it causes a problem.
It spreads, it sprawls, so it makes a canopy that is pretty contiguous where it gets really, really heavy.
In some places, the thorny barberry is so thick you can't walk through it, and little else can grow. What was the question you were looking to answer with this study?
In the past, we were doing tree surveys underneath the barberry, young trees, little saplings or seedlings, and we surveyed areas that were very thickly invaded by barberry and nearby areas that were not. What we found was a lot of young trees coming up outside of the barberry, but very, very few underneath the barberry. We didn't even detect many red maple, which is a very tough native tree. And so we thought there could be any number of reasons why that might be the case. A lot of invasive plants have a property that's known as allelopathy. They drop their leaves in the fall, and those leaves release a chemical that kills other plants or the fungi that the plants depend upon. So we thought it could be that. What we did subsequently is we actually went out and planted young trees underneath the barberry to see if they would do well under the barberry, with the assumptions being that they would not, because we were not finding them in our observational surveys. In fact, what happened is we planted those young trees and they did just fine, at least for their first year. So we concluded that it probably was not allelopathy.
So you had to have another idea. What was your other idea?
Yeah, so I gave a seminar on that research at Kent State University, and a professor there, Dr. David Ward, suggested to me that it could be small mammals. He pointed to work conducted elsewhere with different invasive species that show how when you have very thick subcanopies in invaded forests, mammals tend to be more boldly foraging because they have cover from predators. And small mammals can be a problem for young trees for two reasons. They can feed on the seeds or the seedlings when they come up. So we were setting out to test the hypothesis that perhaps it is small mammal activity that is causing a failure of recruitment for young trees underneath the barberry.
Recruitment means just the number of trees that pop up from seeds.
Yeah, recruitment is a general ecology term, and that just refers to the number of young that a population is putting into the world.
What kind of mammals are we talking about?
They're native mammals. Nothing we caught was invasive. So we're talking white-footed mice, which is a very common mammal throughout the Northeast, chipmunks, and we even caught a couple shrews, but shrews wouldn't be feeding on the seedlings. They're predators. And a host of predators feed on these mammals. Birds of prey like hawks and owls, but also foxes, snakes, and other things. And many of these predators would have a harder time feeding upon these mammals in the presence of thick barberry covers. We didn't empirically test that directly, but what we did is we set out live traps and what we call feeding trays underneath the barberry to quantify how much more they were foraging underneath the barberry, and it turns out indeed they are feeding much more readily and more frequently underneath the barberry as opposed to control areas outside of those barberry patches. This could mean that these more aggressively foraging small mammals are keeping young trees from coming up and creating the next generation of trees that we want to see as mighty, towering, tall trees in our suburban Pittsburgh forests.
So what does this mean for forest habitat?
In a few decades' time, where barberry is very heavily invaded, as the older trees die, there may not be younger trees to replace them. Another consequence in our area that is a very top concern for many of us is that these small mammals, especially white-footed mice that we caught most frequently, are vectors for ticks and Lyme disease. A lot of focus in our area for Lyme disease is on deer, but in fact, these small mammals are much more competent vectors for Lyme disease than deer are. There have been other studies conducted elsewhere in Connecticut that have shown that black-legged ticks that carry those Lyme disease pathogens are more frequently encountered underneath barberry relative to control areas as well. So there's a holistic, multiple ecological effect story coming together with this one invasive plant.
Okay, so the big question is, what can be done about barberry?
It's here. It's not going to be eradicated from Pennsylvanian forests. At this stage of invasion, it's not as though we can get rid of it completely, but there are things you can do. If you're a private landowner, you can control it by severing everything above ground and then either treating the stumps with a weed torch, which is what we do here, or a little bit of herbicide to make sure it doesn't come back. But the challenge is that if you eradicate a patch of barberry somewhere, it's likely going to come back, or another invasive is going to come back if you don't also do something about the deer in the area. So one reason why our Pittsburgh forests are so heavily invaded by shrubs and forbs that are not native is because the deer don't like them, which gives those plants an inherent advantage over the native species that we have in our forests that we would like to see more of, like trillium, blueberry bushes, and viburnum. Without controlling the deer, we don't have as good of a shot of restoring our native understory flora.
Seems like an obvious question, but what does the understory do, and why do we need a native understory under these native trees?
This has been a broad thrust of ecology research, not just for forests, but all types of ecosystems. The more biodiverse an ecosystem is, the more it is able to provide us with the services that we want from our ecosystems, like timber from forests. So if we don't have young trees growing up because there's barberry here, then there's no large trees to harvest in the future. On top of that, without a native understory flora, we don't have as resilient of a forest. So we're going through a relatively dry summer right now. If we had a very biodiverse forest, then the dry-loving species would be able to thrive in a dry year, whereas in a wet year, the wet-loving native species would thrive. With a less biodiverse forest, we have a less stable forest. And so you can have a lot more dramatic swings in the amount of biomass that is in the forest, the amount of pollination services that the forests provide to nearby farms. Anything that we want a forest to do, filtering water, for instance, is going to be more effective with a more biodiverse understory.
Ryan Utes is Assistant Professor of Water Resources at Chatham University's Falk School of Sustainability and Environment. There's more about Japanese barberry and invasive species at AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.